Zielona Góra is neither Warsaw nor Krakow. In the recovered territories, resistance to communism took on a specific hue, shaped by the struggle of a community that first had to learn how to be a society. Thanks to declassified documents and local chronicles, we can reconstruct how this city, initially atomized and devoid of traditional elites, forged its own rebellious identity in the face of totalitarianism. The initial challenge for the resistance was not just political, but sociological. Analyses from that period describe the Zielona Góra of 1945 to 1975 as an atomized society, dominated by an immigrant population of rural origin. In their struggle for survival, people retreated into family circles, largely ignoring the public sphere. However, documents reveal a turning point, the emergence of the post-war generation. Unlike their parents, who were focused on mere existence, this new generation, better educated and with aspirations of upward mobility within provincial institutions, began to urbanize the local mentality. It was precisely the friction between this new civic consciousness and the political correctness imposed by the system that created the fertile ground for dissent. Before physical resistance came symbolic resistance. The thaw of October 1956 brought a feverish attempt to reclaim the city's identity. A standout example was erasing Stalin's name from the urban map. According to local chronicles, the Gazeta editorial office issued a public call for proposals to rename Stalin Avenue. The reaction was immediate. In just 2 days, during an expedited session, the street was rechristened Independence Avenue. The events of May 30, 1960, in defense of the Catholic House, were not a spontaneous outburst, but the culmination of a war of attrition. Archives reveal that authorities tried to neutralize Father Kazimierz Michalski, not only with threats, but also with blackmail. He was promised that the church would regain the building if he limited his rebellious activity. The regime's response following the street battle was surgically precise. Beyond arrests, participants were subjected to civil death through dismissals and blacklisting, forcing entire families to leave the city. Publishing resistance in Zielona Góra was more sophisticated than the simple distribution of leaflets suggests. From 1981 to 1989, the region maintained an underground press network comprising at least 19 titles, which decentralized the resistance. Printing did not take place exclusively in the provincial capital. The network included satellite towns like Świebodzin, Nowa Sól, and Sulechów. Beyond politics, the struggle in the 1980s became existential and moral. The church and Catholic intellectuals created educational spaces outside state control to debate what the regime silenced. The figure of Father Bronisław Kotwica stands out here, described in testimonies as a key player in transforming the Polish mentality of that era. Conspiratorial lectures and meetings not only taught uncensored history, but also addressed the specific moral dilemmas of life under communism. This pedagogical effort brought a tangible shift in social sensitivity between 1980 and 1989, building a neighborhood solidarity that the system sought to destroy. The introduction of martial law on December 13, 1981, set Operation FUR Jodwa in motion. The security service, SB, had prepared a list of 43 targets in Zielona Góra. The repression had two faces. Physical punishment. 38 activists were interned, first in a separate section of the local detention center, and then distributed to prisons in Głogów and Ostrów Wielkopolski to sever their connections. 2. Psychological pressure. The regime used loyalty declarations, lojalki, to break morale. Documents record that 4 activists avoided internment by signing these papers, illustrating the psychological cruelty of the system, forcing a choice between freedom and betraying one's own ideals. Others, like Czesław Stasiak, chose a third way: total conspiracy, avoiding capture until March 1982. The creation of an organized resistance was not free from internal conflict, an aspect often romanticized. Contemporary historical documents still debate the exact details regarding the formation of the Inter-Enterprise Founding Committee, MKZ, in Zielonogóra. Investigations continue to clarify the power dynamics and disputes between the different factions of workers and advisors who attempted to unify the movement in the summer of 1980. This proves that solidarity was a process of constant negotiation, not a monolithic block from the beginning.